It's true what Brother Richardson said. He said, if you knew what God Almighty knows, then you would order every event in your own life just exactly the way God's doing it now. You wouldn't change a thing if you knew what He knows. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His eternal, unchangeable purpose. Psalm 37 now. Turn back there to Psalm 37. The title of this message is simply, Fret Not. Fret Not. I looked up the word fret in Webster's dictionary, and it means agitation of the mind, marked by complaint and impatience, or disturbance of temper, irritation, or something that eats away or gnaws at you. Fretting is very common to all of us, isn't it? We fret and worry and become agitated and irritated about anything and everything. Everybody in here is guilty. I admit that I'm guilty. I admit that the current state of things in our country constantly leaves me in a state of agitation and irritation. The violence and the immorality and the religious perversion that goes on gets me quite upset and agitated. Every time I look at the Roanoke news and world propaganda, I get plumb agitated. The people of this world and their perverted and warped mentality and their total lack of morals and scruples just gets me plumb upset. I have to admit, it does you too. Most of what I read in the papers, most of what I see on the television, most of what I hear coming out of the mouths of the average person is totally contrary to biblical principle. And it's totally contrary to all the laws of decency and right and wrong, and I get plumb aggravated. I seem to stay that way. And it was no different back in days gone by. In the days of David, who wrote this psalm, it was no different. He lived in a wicked and adulterous generation that was no less wicked than the one we live in. And he said this in verse 1, he said, don't fret. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. And whether those evildoers be religious ones, they're the ones that get me fretted more than anything. These workers of iniquity, the Lord calls them, who say they're doing good work, but they're not. They're workers of iniquity. They're blaspheming my Lord, and they're corrupting and perverting the Scriptures and leading men's souls astray. Whether they be religious evildoers or irreligious evildoers, whether they be self-righteous evildoers or openly immoral evildoers, whether they be heretical or homosexual evildoers, he says, fret not. Don't let them get you overly upset or excited. Stay calm. Remember who's in charge. Remember who is in control of all things. And remember who it is that raises up and who it is that casts down. And who is in absolute control over good and evil. No evil could take place, zero, unless God allowed it. None of it. So we need to remember that and fret not. And he says this, don't be envious. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Down in verse 35, he says, I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Turn over to Psalm 73. The easy way to remember Psalm 37 and Psalm 73 is just reverse the numbers. But they're saying the same thing. And this is a sad fact, but, that's the wrong choice of words, isn't it? It's the fact. This is the fact that this evil and adulterous generation will not elect any decent, honest, God-fearing man. will not exalt or raise to a position of leadership or government any decent, good, honest-fearing man. Well, that's not who they want, but only evildoers. And we read there where it says he's spreading himself like a green bay tree. Well, look at Psalm 73, verses 3 through 12. David says here, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And no bands in their death. And they're not troubled in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. They don't seem to have the plagues and the problems and the trials and tribulations that at least believers have. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heaven. Their tongue walketh through the earth. But his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly. They prosper in the world. They increase in riches. They're fat and sassy and blasphemous of God Almighty. It seems, sometimes it does seem as if crime does pay, doesn't it? That's what David was saying right there. It does seem, O Lord, that sometimes crime does pay. The wicked get rich. The wicked get the best jobs. Have you ever fretted over not getting a job that somebody else got because they knew somebody or had a little influence or whatever? Huh? I'll remind you of Psalm 75, verse 6. It says, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is the judge. He puts down one, sets up another. I remember just before I came down here, I was quite upset. Well, I wasn't quite upset, but I was perplexed why I didn't get a particular job that I was best suited for and I felt most qualified for and just knew I was the best man for the job. I was the best man for the job, but I didn't get the job. Now I know why. Had I got that job, I wouldn't have this job. Wouldn't have this one. Well, don't worry, believer. There was an old preacher years ago that preached a message, and he entitled it, Payday Someday. Payday Someday. Payday Someday. And look back to Psalm 37. He says in verse 2, they'll soon be cut down. They're fat and sassy now, but they'll be lean and hungry then. They'll be cut down like the grass and wither as the earth. Don't fret, he says. Relax. Relax. Don't cry, laugh. That's what he said God's doing. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh. If the Lord's laughing, why don't we? He shall see his days coming, and we ought to believe the Lord. The Lord laughs. We don't envy a fat cow, do we? Huh? A cow that's out there getting real good and fat in the field, do we envy him? He's going to the slaughter. Why should we envy those that get fat off this world? It's the goodness of the Lord not to let his people get too fat in this world, but to leave them lean and not subsisting off this world. And also this, he says, don't fret because of evildoers. Be thou not envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't fret because of ill treatment that you receive at the hands of your family or co-workers or employers. Don't fret at the ill treatment you receive at the hands of various people. You live as unto the Lord because His eyes behold, His eyelids dry. He knows exactly what His children are going through, and somehow or another He is behind it all. Now, here's eight words to keep us from fretting in this text. He says, fret not. And there are eight words to be found in this text to keep us from fretting. Do you need this? I do. All right. Word number one. Look at verse 3. First thing to keep us from fretting is trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do you believe God is all wise? Do you believe God's all wise? Do you believe He knows all, sees all, controls all? Do you believe all things work together for good according to that purpose of it? Well, then trust Him. Huh? Trust Him. He's in control. Why worry? Why worry? Take the attitude of that cartoon character. What? Be worried? My God knows all, does all, controls all. Why should I worry? You know what fretting and worrying is, basically? Fretting and worrying is nothing more than unbelief. And saying this is what fretting and worrying is saying, basically. God doesn't know what's best. Isn't it? God doesn't know what's best for me. I'd do it differently. Isn't that what fretting and worrying is? Huh? Is God not all wise? Is God not in control? Is it? You believe that? Then trust Him. Trust Him. Trusting Him, the song says, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus. That's all. That's all. Don't judge anything. We get into a worrying, a fretful state when we judge with these, don't we? When we judge with the eye. Don't judge anything by the eyesight. The just shall live by faith. Judge everything by faith, and judge everything according to God's holy and eternal word. Don't judge anything before the time, you see. Time, before His times, you see, in His times. Everything is going according to His time. So trust in the Lord. That's word number one. Word number two is found in that same verse. Trust in the Lord and do good. I read many writers, and none of them use this term, but that's okay. The Lord used it. In verse 3, do good. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Do good. See, right here in verse 3, you have sovereignty and responsibility, don't you? Trust in God and do good. Trust the Lord and do good. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is exactly what he's saying, what Peter's saying. 1 Peter chapter 3. Trust and do. In other words, do what is right, just, holy, and good. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Serve your fellow man, and you have nothing to fear. 1 Peter 2, look at verses 13 through 20. We'll read several verses here. Verses 13 through 20. He says here, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. All right? Read on. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, servants or workers, be subject to your masters, your employees, with all fear, not only the good and gentle employees, but also to the mean ones. You remember I just read in Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, the Lord, where does promotion come from? God puts a man in office and puts a man in position of leadership. Verse 19, this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 8, chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. That is, be full of pity for one another. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you're thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, listen to it, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Verse 16. Having a good conscience, they speak evil of you as of evildoers. They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good life or conversation in Christ. Isn't that what Peter said? The same thing that the psalmist said? Very clear, isn't it? Very clear. He says, do good, and thou shalt, back in the text, do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's no hunger to a laboring man. The Lord won't let it happen. There's no evil going to befall a man who endeavors by God's grace to walk the right way. It's not going to happen. So don't fret. Don't fret. You're walking according to the light that God gives you, according to His Word, asking Him for His help. Don't fret. Do good. Look at number 3 in verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What is your chief joy and delight? Whatever your chief joy and delight is will determine whether or not you do much fretting. Is your family your chief joy and delight? Then you'll constantly be fretting. Your family, you may lose them, or they may disappoint you or abuse you. And then you'll be fretting constantly. What about your home? Is your home your chief joy and delight? Huh? One little match will send that up in a puff of smoke. Won't it? What about your job? You can sure lose that, can't you? In a hurry. That's your chief joy and delight? What about health and happiness? Health and happiness, that's your chief joy and delight? That what gives you most pleasure and delight? The microscopic germ may be in your body right now. It's going to kill you. It's going to turn you into a vegetable. It won't take much to do away with health and happiness, will it? What about youth? What about youth and future pursuits? Everything that lies ahead of you. You'll be 37 real soon. You'll be 57, 52, whatever. 67, 77. What about 82? Virgin never dreamed of the day that she never thought it would happen. Like that wasn't a virgin. 83, sorry. Like that, isn't it? A vapor. No, the youth, there's nothing to be had in youth. There's only one place you can find unchanging joy and delight. Change and decay and all around I see. Can you quote the rest of it? O thou who changest not, abide with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, if you could find, this is what I look for in a friend personally. I look for somebody that stays the same all the time. Somebody that's dependable, somebody that's faithful, somebody that's constant, true, and faithful. You can find a friend like that. Stick with it. Delight in Him. Rejoice in Him. And be a friend to Him. There is a friend like that that sticketh closer than a brother, who never changes, who never fails, will never fail you. He's always the same. Same. Don't you like constancy in people? Huh? And people that are on an even keel, not people that are, you know, moody people, all the time have you upset, or you know, they can be nice one minute and you just love them to death, and then mean as a snake the neck and you want to punch them in the nose. Don't you? Yeah, you do. I'm not the only one that feels that way. Christ is the same all the time. Constant. Same yesterday, today, and forever. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother, you can depend on it. You can depend on Him. And the more you delight in Him, the more your desires will be for Him. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The more you delight in Christ, the more you get to know Him, the more your desires will be for Him and less for the world. Right? And the less you'll be fretting, because He never changes. Because you see that He is your unfailing portion.
Whom have I in heaven but thee? And really, there's none on earth I desire beside thee. So why should I fret? He never changes. He said he'd never leave me. He said he's going to come back again someday and receive me to himself. He said, let not your heart be troubled. So why should I fret? Huh? What are you fretting about? Isn't that like cure for fretting? Delight in the Lord. There's nothing else to delight in. Everything changes. Everything fails. But he never fails. Look at verse 5. Here's another word. Number 4. Verse 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. You're like this. Do you have a margin there? What does your margin say? Commit. If you have a King James Bible in the margin, it says, roll thy way upon the Lord. Roll thy way upon the Lord. Remove or cast upon the Lord thy way. Now, the way of the believer is not like the way of the world. We saw that in Psalm 73, how that the world is going this broad road. They seem to have it easy. Everything's smooth. It's all just gravy to the world. They don't seem to have the troubles that believers have. But the believer goes through a world of tribulation. That's what the Lord said, didn't he? He said, you must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven to wean us from this world. Because if we found any happiness here, we won't stay, wouldn't we, Terry? But he weans us from it. And we go through much trial and tribulation. Yet, it's a paradox. Because trials and tribulations, on the back of trials and tribulations, we receive joy unspeakable. Scripture talks about consolations to every trial. The consolations more than make up for the pain that you've suffered, don't they? Consolations more than make up for the deprivation that you've suffered, don't they? If they don't, I'm worried about you. Brother Walter Gruber told us down in Mexico, he related this story. He said he was talking with a man who had undergone a severe trial, and the man was in a great deal of bitterness and sorrow and just down in the mouth for a long time. And he thought, when's he going to get over this? He's supposed to be a believer. And the man kept fretting and worrying and murmuring and complaining and sorrowing over his loss. And finally, Walter is a man with no guile. Such a meek and humble and sweet and gentle fellow. He wouldn't say anything hard or tough to anybody. But he said to the man, very plain language, he said, where's the consolation you're supposed to have in Christ? Isn't there supposed to be some consolation in all your trials and trouble? And he said, the man, it's like it shocked him. He said he came back to him the next day. He said he had a grin on his ear or on his face from ear to ear. He said, the Lord gave me that consolation. I don't know why I fretted so long. But there's consolation to be had behind every trial and trouble that a believer goes through. And if it's not there, then you have need to worry. He says, roll your way upon the Lord. We don't have to bear these burdens alone. We don't have to bear them alone. The illustration is this. Here's the illustration. Say you're walking along and you're carrying a heavy load. I mean a heavy load. Some of you have physically, literally done that. Carried heavy loads and you felt like you were literally going to fall under the weight of that load. Or some of you have carried emotional loads that you literally thought you were going to faint, you were going to quit under that burden. You're walking along carrying this heavy load that you feel like you're going to fall at any time. And along comes a good friend. Strong, robust, fresh, youth renewed as an eagle. He comes up to you and says, do you need any help? Now you're about to fall down. Do I need any help? How much can you carry, you say to him? How much can you carry? And he says, all of it. Would you not gladly give it to him? Huh? Only a fool wouldn't. Would you not gladly give it to him? Well, let me tell you this. If the government of the universe is upon his shoulders, Greg, can you handle your light affliction? If God placed on him the sin of the world, God put on him the iniquity of us all, Greg, can you handle your little problem? I think half the problem is we try to handle it ourselves and don't roll it. That's what he said, just roll it off. It doesn't even take any effort to roll it off. Roll thy truck. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you, Peter said. Also, this verse here is trifocal, quadrifocal, infinity focal. Has so many meanings here. Listen to this. This means this also. In the Latin Vulgate version, it says this. Commit thy way means to reveal thy way unto the Lord. In other words, reveal your sins. Confess all of your sins. He knows them anyway. Why not get it off your chest? Huh? Have you ever kept a secret, a sin secret? About when a kid, when you did something, you know, and nobody. One time, when we were in grade school, we used to like to lay in a pile on one another on the playground. Boys are strange. Just lay in a pile, you know, just wrestling all over one another. And there was one little boy, skinny little boy, that never did that. He was real frail, and he never got in on roughhousing like the rest of us did. He was standing there, and I was back on the other side of the playground. And I saw him standing there, and I ran and shoved him into the pile. And he no sooner came up out of that pile, he had a pump knot on his head that big. And, of course, I didn't, you know, I turned my back. Nobody knew who did it. You know, that haunts me to this day. That haunts me to this day. Sins kept secret. You just want to get them off your chest, don't you? I did it. And you feel so much better. Well, the Lord knows anyway. Why don't you tell him? Get it off your chest. Confess thy wayward ways. Confess your wayward ways. And it says, trust him and as merciful and gracious Savior, and he'll bring it to pass. Look at it. Commit your way unto him, the Lord, trust in him, he'll bring it to pass, or that is, he'll bring your predicament to pass, that your predicament shall pass. Your trouble and your anxiety shall pass. You know, sometimes the Lord repays us later on. We know exactly why. We feel like we've got, you know, about 3 weeks later I had a wreck on my bicycle and got a pump knot on the side of my face. I didn't complain. I knew why I had that pump knot. That's true. Commit thy way. Here's another meaning of this. Commit thy way. Spurgeon said, roll the whole burden of your whole life upon the Lord. Just roll it all. Seems like a heavy burden, especially you fathers and husbands, doesn't it? Submit to him in everything. Submit to him everything. Your home, your family, your job, your mind, your heart, your body, your soul. That'll cure fretfulness. Say, here, Lord, you take it. I don't want it. Right? He said, cast your care, all your care upon me. He careth for you. Well, here, I don't need it. Right? It's like that man who was having trouble with insomnia, couldn't sleep at night, and he read Psalm 121. It said he neither slumbers nor sleep. He said, well, if the Lord's going to stay awake, why should I? I'm going to sleep. I'm not being, I'm trying to be clever. It's true, though, isn't it? Huh? Why fret? Refer everything to him. Refer everyone to him. Even Satan. How do you resist the devil? Refer him to the Lord. The Lord rebuked him. Right? Isn't that what Michael did, the archangel? What if he'd have tried to fight him on his own? He'd have been whooped. Whipped. The Lord rebuked it. Refer everything and everyone to the Lord. Lord, you said you'd say you'd handle it. That sounds simple, doesn't it? It's true. It's true. It says he'll bring, verse 6, he'll bring your righteousness as the light Bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. If you look to Christ, thy righteousness, who is thy righteousness? It's Christ. You look to Christ, thy righteousness, you'll be enlightened. Right? You see that Christ is your righteousness, it'll enlighten you about most everything. If you trust in Christ, he says, he'll bring your judgment as the noonday. Or in other words, you'll grow in knowledge of Christ, you'll discern all things. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 2. You have the mind of Christ. You'll be able to have good judgment. Does that make sense? You have good judgment concerning all things. Also, that means the same thing we read in 1 Peter chapter 3. God will vindicate his righteous ones. He'll vindicate them. He'll lead them in right paths and in spite of all of the perversity and so forth. All right, number 5. Look at verse 7. Word number 5. Rest in the Lord. Rest in him and his completed work. He said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Enter into Christ your Sabbath. Enter into Christ your Sabbath. Listen to this. This is interesting. You know, the law, when God instituted the law, man was to work 6 days and then rest on the seventh. The law says work 6 days and then rest, if you can, if the work's finished. There's really never any rest if you're trying to keep, be accepted by the works of the law, or you'll never rest. You'll never have any rest, will you? The law says work 6 days and rest. Grace says this, rest first, then go to work. You ever notice that? The seventh day, the first day of the week is the day we rest on. You begin by resting in Christ. And once resting in Christ, then you go to work for him. Not in order to rest, but because of Christ, because of your salvation, because out of gratitude. There's nothing sweeter to a laboring man than rest. Have you ever worked your fingers to the bone? Have you ever worked until you couldn't work anymore, until you're at the point of exhaustion? Was there anything sweeter, anything more enjoyable than rest? Just to just lay on the bed? Well, there's nothing sweeter to an old sinner than a sovereign Savior that you can rest on, that you don't have to worry. It's done. Your song says, it's done. It's not. There's nothing left to do. It's all been done. There's some sweet rest to be had right there, isn't it? There's nothing sweeter than to rest upon the sovereign Savior who finished, who completed, who effectually accomplished redemption on behalf of his people. Just rest. Just rest. You know, all those animals that were in the ark, what'd they have to do? Rest. I said all the animals went in the ark was already prepared, you see. And all they had to do was come into the ark and just lay around and eat. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's what he said. He said, the good shepherd leads them beside the still water, in the green pasture beside the still water. Just rest. Lay down, maketh them lie down and eat. Nothing hard about that, is it? Also, this means this. To rest means you sit, you have another marginal reference there, says be silent too. Rest in the Lord. Be silent. Or that is, don't question God's providence. The people, the children of Israel came to that Red Sea, you know, and they were beset with armies behind them and the mountains on this side and the mountains on that side and it seemed like an impenetrable wall of water in front of them. What did Moses say to them? Stand still. Don't do anything. Don't start swimming. Don't start fretting. Just stand still and just watch. Just watch. Be still. Be quiet. Wait. Watch the hand of God at work. I wish we could do that. Don't you?
That cure fretfulness. Just watch. Just wait. Just watch. That's getting ahead of myself. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. This is word number 6. Verse 8, he says, cease from anger. Cease from anger. God said to Cain, you remember when Cain brought the best that he could do and God said, "It won't, no, Cain. No, I won't accept that." Cain was wroth. Cain got angry. What did God say to Cain? Cain, wouldn't it have been much easier just to bring a lamb? You wouldn't have to do anything, would you, Cain? Huh? What are you angry about? What are you angry about? In other words, he caused himself a whole lot more work than he needed to, didn't he? If he'd have just brought what God had already provided, he wouldn't have had to work at all. Right? But Cain toiled in pride. That's the only reason anybody works. Thinks God's going to accept it out of pride. Think God's going to accept it. But God said to Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you angry, Cain? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And it says there, be accepted means have the excellency. If you could do well, Brother Terry, if you could do righteous, if you could be holy, if you could do something that God Almighty would accept, wouldn't he accept you on the basis of that? Yeah, he would. He would. But you can't, can you, buddy? Huh? Oh, so why try? Just rest. Just rest. Why should, and listen to this, think about this. Why should we be angry about anything or anyone that crosses us or crosses our path when we're only getting what we deserve anyway? Huh? We get angry and upset about anything or everything that crosses our path, get angry about it, and we're not getting what we deserve. We're not getting one millionth of what we deserve. It says the Lord has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, doesn't it? He hasn't given us what we deserve. And sometimes we reap exactly what we've sown. I got a pump, not because I deserve one. I gave one and I got one. Why should I complain? Huh? We got a whole lot of pump knots coming to us, don't we, Brother Stan? According to what we've sown all of our lives, huh? But thank God he doesn't deal with us according to our iniquity. But he's rewarded us double. God said to Jonah the same thing, didn't he? Remember when Jonah got angry? God grew a gourd. Remember that? Jonah went down and preached and got mad because the people repented. That sounds like a sovereign grace preacher. Just wipe them out, Lord. Kill them. Don't save them. Kill them. Isn't that right? Isn't that just like... And the Lord... But the Lord saved those people. And Jonah... And the Lord grew... And Jonah went over under the tree and started sulking, you know. It made him look bad. You see. And the Lord mercifully grew a gourd to protect old Jonah from the heat of the sun. And he got a little relief, a little respite, and went to sleep, you know, and forgot his anger a little bit. But the sun withered that gourd. Oh, he got up mad, you know. And what did the Lord say to old Jonah? Jonah, do you do well to be angry with the gourd? He said, Jonah, you didn't grow the gourd. You didn't deserve the gourd. Gourd head? That's where that saying came from, Joe. That's exactly where it came. Gourd head? What's wrong with you? I ought to beat you over the head with a gourd. All I did, I gave it to you, and now I'm taking it away from you, Jonah. Cease from that anger. Isn't that what he's saying? Stop that, you baby. Shut up. Dry up. Jonah. I gave it to you. I can take it away. It's mine. Just bless me. Bless me. It wasn't yours to begin with. You didn't earn it, nor did you deserve it. So that's one way to quit fretting. Everything that crosses our path, or everything that goes contrary to us,
everything we had by the grace of God anyway. My car breaks down, why should I fret? God gave it to me. Huh? People down in Mexico don't have cars. They don't even have bicycles. Some of them don't even have shoes. Why should I fret when something goes wrong with my, you know, if my favorite pair of shoes out of my 20 pair had put in the shop? That'll keep you from fretting. Come on. It ought to. Cease from anger. Stop that. Remember that by the grace of God you are what you are and have what you have. And then the results of anger unchecked. If you let your anger go unchecked, this is what will happen. You'll vent your wrath. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Anger vented or unleashed expresses itself in wrath. Bring down your wrath upon something or somebody or whatever. Now you think about this and see if this isn't so. We always end up regretting it when we pop off or vent our frustration or do something out of anger. Something spiteful, something vengeful, or take matters into our own hands. We always, later on, end up regretting what we've done out of a fit of anger. Don't we? Huh? Every time. It always makes us end up feeling worse rather than better, doesn't it? I'll give him a piece of my mind. Or you do. How about this? Let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten mad at somebody? A husband, a wife, a friend, or somebody, and do something despite them and only end up making matters much worse than they were before. Huh? Have you? Everybody in here has done that. And you rue the day that you let your wrath or let your anger turn into wrath. And he says here, don't do it. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't get so full of a root of bitterness that springs up that'll trouble you and cause you to do any evil. Don't do it. Evil only begets evil. No good will ever come of it. Paul said this, put off anger, wrath, malice. Like I say, it's like talking to a child. No, stop that. Just stop it. James said this. Here's a good way to put off anger and wrath. James said, be swift to hear. Husbands and wives, don't we need to learn that real? Why is it we listen to other people's husband or wife and so patient with them and not with our own? Huh? This would cure that. Be swift to hear. Be more ready to hear than to answer. Give a sacrifice of food. Be swift to hear, James said. Slow to speak. Put a watch on your lips. Some reason in our own households we're a little less watchful over our speech. Be swift to hear, ready to hear the other person out. Slow to speak. You know that little woman might be Manoah's wife. She might can teach you a thing or two or three or four. Slow to wrath. Know what he says? Slow to wrath. If I've said this once, I've said it a dozen times. If there's anything that the mercy and grace and regenerating power of God does to a man or a woman, it makes them merciful and gracious and changes them. It makes them temperate, doesn't it? Temperate? Doesn't God tempers our temper with mercy and grace? In light of His mercy and grace does. It ought to temper our temper toward others. And then lastly, and he said this in verse 7, but I saved it for last. Verse 9, he says, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. A little while, the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Just wait. Just wait. Well, I can't wait. You better. Just wait. You know the old saying, turn over to Psalm 25, and I'll quit by quoting some of these verses. Psalm 25.
The old saying is, I don't know where this came from unless it has biblical basis behind it. The old saying is, good things come to those that wait. You old folks, Barbara, you remember? you've heard that saying, haven't you? Good things come to those that wait. I think that ought to be God comes to those that wait. That's what Scripture says here. Look at Psalm 25, verse 2 and 3. Oh, my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. So many times I have shamed myself by not waiting on the Lord. Haven't you? Huh? So many times I have shamed myself by not waiting on the Lord, but rather taking things into my own hands. Kind of like macho men, you know, who would rather do something rather than just dive into something before reading the instructions. Anybody guilty of that? If all else fails, you know, read the instructions. No, that's not the way this thing's done. Read the instructions first, and that way everything else won't fail. Right? Take God's word. Read the instructions. Read His precepts, His commandments, His institutes. And then you might not have to fail. Right? Isn't that good advice? Let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. But those that don't wait and run ahead, they're going to be ashamed. You can count on it. You can count on it. You ever done that, Stan? Huh? I can do that. Well, I can take that apart. Sure you can. Can you put it back together? Verse 5. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. On Thee do I wait all the day. You know, if the truth be known, you know, I'm a pastor of this church, and there's a lot of decisions to be made, and maybe you're a boss or have some decisions to be made on your job or whatever, and after you get off of the job or in a situation where it doesn't require that you make the decision, don't you kind of like just sit back and let somebody else make the decision? Huh? My wife, all the time, we might go out to eat or something. She says, where do you want to go? I don't care. You decide. No. No. Anywhere in the world you want to go to eat, just you decide. I don't want to make that decision. Huh? Well, if the truth be known, Brother Terry, I don't want to make any decisions in my life. Do you? Every decision I've ever made, I've messed it up. Wouldn't this be a good thing to do? Just wait on the Lord. Let Him make the decision. That's a bad word. Let Him. He will make the decision if you wait on Him. And that was it. You're my salvation. I'm just going to wait on You. I'm not moving till You move first. Right? Lord, I'm not. If You carry me not up here, if You go not with us, don't carry me. All right? I want that, but I'm just not sure if it's what I need. I'm not going to do it, Lord, until You show me for sure that that's what I'm supposed to do. He says, any that wait on Him will never be ashamed. He says, I am your salvation. You wait on me, and I'll show you the way. I'll lead you in the right path. Trust in the Lord. And finally, look at verse 21. If you wait on the Lord to show you the way and inquire into His precepts, inquire into His word. Read the instructions first. Verse 21 says, integrity and uprightness will preserve you. You'll make the right decisions. Right? Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. I wait on Thee. And He will. He'll preserve you from much evil. So, fret not. Fret not. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all your might, as unto the Lord. No evil will befall you. Who is he that will harm you? Could be followers of that which is good. Huh? Do good. Delight thyself in the Lord. Don't get much delight and joy and happiness and anything else. You'll be disappointed. The only thing constant in this world is disappointment. Christ is constant in wisdom and all, in goodness. Delight in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll your care on Him. Confess your sins to Him. Rest in the Lord. Rest in Him. Wait on Him. Cease from anger. Now just stop that. Forsake wrath. Don't let your anger be vented and do what you'll later regret. Forsake that. Eschew it. Run from it. Wait. Just wait. Wait. Wait, I say. I went through and started counting all the times. I said, wait on the Lord. I quit. 2 minutes. Wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And He'll exalt you in due time. The wicked, don't worry. Don't worry about this world. Don't envy a failing world. Don't envy a fatted calf. Don't do it. Wait on the Lord. Fret not. Trust in Him. All right. Hope that was a help to you. Stand with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that You'd give us the strength and let Your integrity and uprightness preserve us, keep us from evil. Give us wisdom, Lord. Don't let us be dumb oxes. Don't let us forget. Don't let us be like the man who beheld himself in the glass and walked away and forgot what manner of man he was. Don't let that happen. But take these words, these 8 words, all of these words, or 1 word, just take 1 word, and instill it within us, indelibly print it upon our hearts and our minds, that we might not fret anymore, that we might trust in Thee. Thou art a God who delights Thyself in showing mercy and grace and giving great things unto His people. And no thing is too hard for Thee. And Lord, we ask that You would show us that You have undertaken everything on our behalf and that we live far below our privileges as sons of God. And we don't have to live beggars. And we don't have to live as groveling and so full of fears and all that. But we can just trust in Thee and feel confident and feel some assurance and not fret about things. So, Lord, we ask that You would instill that within us and impress these thoughts, these words upon us. You can take 1 word and bring about a great change within our lives. We ask that You do that for Your glory. This will bring glory to You. Herein is Father glorified, that we bear much fruit unto His glory. And we ask that You enable us to glorify You not only with our words and our profession of faith, but with our lives, our conversation. That men may see that we truly do believe a sovereign God and we act that way. That we don't fret, but we trust in the living God who will perform all things for us. Grant it, Lord, according to Your riches and glory in Christ. Grant it. We don't deserve it, but we ask You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.